Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Why Tab? One. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
We turn to a passage in John's Gospel, the 17th chapter. It's in the middle of a longer section that I'll explain to you in just a moment. But let's together listen to this, the word of our Lord. Jesus says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. Lord, may this be our prayer now, and as we sit beneath the teaching of your word, may your word help to shape and inform and inspire my words. And may my words help to shape and inform and inspire us as your people to follow after you. This is our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. We come to this last of a series of sermons on why TAB, the question I asked of myself 15 years ago, the very question each of us must ask and I believe answer for ourselves still today. And I would venture to say that the answer I want to explore with you this morning is more important than any of the other answers I've posed to you during the past couple of weeks. We've spoken of TAB's ability to maintain a balance between Christ-centered preaching and teaching and a social engagement in the community. Not an easy balance for many churches to maintain, but we have done this so well for so long. We have spoken of this deep keel of our location, of our legacy programs, of our generosity, each of which has kept us stable and standing through the myriad of changes that have come our way over the past 172 years. We've spoken of the partnerships that we have birthed and launched and now maintain in the work of the gospel in this community and around the globe, some of which have been around for decades. Others, TAB RAC, will turn 100 years old next year. And as important as each of those are, I believe, to our identity, I believe our ability to maintain unity in the midst of our diversity is of greater importance still. And so it's that I'd like to focus on with you this morning. And why is this so important to us? Because as we've just read in Jesus' gospel, John's gospel, this was important to Jesus. Our scripture lesson taken from John's gospel comes at the very end of his ministry. It's part of what is often called the Last Supper discourse. Last words carry extra weight, don't they? Extra meaning. And so we should listen carefully to them because these are important words. These are essential words. Jesus concludes this table conversation with his disciples by offering a prayer. Now, it's unlike the model prayer, which he gave us earlier, the one we refer to as being the Lord's Prayer. This actually is the Lord's Prayer, a prayer he actually prayed for himself. And what did he pray? Well, interestingly enough, he begins by praying for himself, that he and his ministry might be honored and glorified so that the Father might be honored and glorified. He then prays for the 12, those who are seated with him at the table, his closest friends and followers, praying that God might protect them physically, protect them spiritually, saying, Father, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. And a particular note here, he prays for their oneness, for their unity, as they were being now commissioned to go out and carry on the ministry which Jesus began. And why did he ask this for them? Because he knew, as different as these 12 disciples were, how easy it would be for them to scatter to the winds once he was no longer there to hold them together. And then he concludes this prayer by praying for all those who would come to believe in him because of their witness and work, saying, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. Friends, it isn't a stretch at all to say that Jesus, on that night, was praying for us. And what did he pray on our behalf? That we, might all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Again, I ask, of all the things that Jesus could have prayed for, why did he pray for this? For our unity in the faith despite our diversity, for our unity in witness and ministry. I believe it's because he knows us. And he knows our proclivity to divide and separate ourselves from one another when issues arise and times get tough. And he knew that were that to happen, it would be damaging to the church in generations to come, all those who would believe in him, and to their witness to the difference that Jesus makes in the way we relate to God and the way we relate to one another. He wanted them, and I dare say he wanted us, to demonstrate to the unbelieving world that there is something different about the church, that there is something different about his followers, that in fact persons of good character and principle may really differ without dividing, that agreement on the essentials outweighs any disagreements that may arise on the non-essentials. You know, these are all things you have heard me talk about before, perhaps many times before, because these are important to me. And given that Jesus focused on this in his parting prayer, I think it's safe to say that unity in the midst of our diversity is important to him as well. So I bring it up to you again, because we're doing it. TAB is doing this, and we need to continue to do it for our sake, but more importantly, for Christ's sake. I've been quoting Aaron Wren a good deal recently. If you've been with us, Aaron is a local writer who, along with his family, worshiped with us for a good number of years before moving out of town. And in his leaving, he sent me an email with 10 wonderfully insightful characteristics of how unique TAB is. Listen to the way he describes numbers 3 and 4. Quote, TAB is an extremely rare church where people who have very different politics attend together and seem to get along. For me personally, TAB was a refuge from the kinds of disputes and controversies tearing the U.S. religious world apart. Just consider COVID. I'm sure you heard it all from people on both sides, and that this was a big stress inducer for this session and the staff. However, the congregation seemed to be buffered from all of that. Agree or disagree, I appreciate the TAB laid out an approach to what it was doing and followed it while not becoming heavy-handed with mandates on the congregation. I think this is about as well as it could have been done given the times. And again, I felt completely buffered from any controversies. What a relief, end quote. Now, Aaron cites the pandemic, and I think it's a good example of how we tried to live in unity despite our differences and opinions on that. I know not all of you agreed with me or the staff or the session on decisions we made when we were trying to navigate our way through this. I'll confess to you, I didn't agree with myself part of the time in the midst of all of that. And yet we made the conscious decision and commitment to trust the decisions which were being made on behalf of the well-being of the whole congregation, born of our desire to stay together. You continued to be fully supportive of our mission and ministry, even if you weren't fully in agreement with some of the decisions that were being made. Fast forward then, we came out of the restrictions of the pandemic and new decisions had to be made with regard to social distancing and how many services we should be offering on a Sunday morning. You'll remember that survey we sent out asking for your opinions. We got a tremendous response and a varied response. But the overwhelming response was, despite any personal preferences regarding number or hour or style of worship, there was a clear desire stated, we want to stay together. That statement of our commitment to unity, unity in the midst of our diversity. And so it held. The early church, you know, was considered to be quite an anomaly in the ancient world because they were very diverse, but they weren't divided. In one early manuscript, the early Christians were described in this way, quote, Christians are not distinguished from others by country or language, nor by the customs which they observe. They do not inhabit their own cities. They use a particular way of speaking or lead a life marked by any curiosity. No, they reside in their homelands, but as aliens. Every foreign land is home to them. Every homeland is a place of exile. It is they that hold the world together in unity. End quote. It's notable that in the early church, their distinctive diversity was not a liability, it was an asset, it was a necessity, if you will, if the gospel message was going to reach not just to some people, but to all people. And so what was it that held them together, despite all their differences of background and language and culture and nation? It was a shared commitment to Jesus Christ and his lordship. They remained absolutely committed to the one who united them despite their many differences. And because of that, they made a difference in the world. And the world sat up and took notice. And I believe the same can be said today, right here among us. Our shared commitment to Christ is expressed in our shared commitment to one another. To choose Christ is also to choose his people. We don't have to agree on everything as long as we agree on him. You know, every organization is either defined by its boundaries or by its center. Boundary-set organizations, even churches, can create perimeters, cultural fences, theological borders, to keep clear lines of distinction between us and them, who's in, who's out, who belongs and who doesn't belong. Center-set organizations take a different approach. Rather than by defining who does and does not belong by set points of agreement on the perimeter, center-set organizations focus on common points of agreement, the essentials, if you will, with less concern about those issues which tend to divide, the non-essentials. I believe the church is called to be center set, our center being Jesus. And he alone is our essential. A shared commitment to him and his kingdom purposes establishes our relationship not only with him, but then with one another. This is the essential. And once in place, any disagreements over the non-essentials become increasingly less important to us. I agree with Leslie Newbegin, who along this line says, the church is not defined by its boundaries, it's defined by its center. That was restated by a varied group of Christians who met in 1952 under the auspices of the World Council of Churches, a very diverse body, to be sure. And they spelled out the basics simply by saying, and I quote, the closer we come to Jesus, the closer we come to one another. This, I believe, is what Jesus meant when he prayed that we all may be one, because he knew then and now that in times of disagreement, We have a tendency to run to our corners, to divide and separate. Red and blue, pro and con, for, against, in, out. Somehow thinking that we're going to find safety and shelter by surrounding ourselves only with those we think and believe like we do, only then to discover that the more narrowly we define our perimeters, we suddenly find ourselves kind of standing all by ourselves. Some of you will recall the illustration I used a couple of weeks ago about the two men on the Golden Gate Bridge. Find that one again. It applies here. We know that we live in a culture right now that's going to bias towards being boundary defined. But that's not how it should be in the church, because we are defined by our center. In our times of disagreement, rather than running to our corners, rather than running away from one another, we should be running toward one another, because the one who unites us is greater than anything that could ever divide us, unless, of course, we allow it to. Jesus' prayer for the unity of the church, despite its diversity, is evidenced throughout his teaching. When he was asked, what are the essentials? He could have listed many, but instead he said, there are really only two. Love God, love your neighbor. All the rest is just commentary. The Apostle Paul, surely one who could have come up with a myriad of rules and regulations, wrote to the Corinthian church this simple instruction. I've decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Are there other things that he could have spoken to? Of course. Are there other things that could have been discussed and debated and disagreed upon? Of course there are, but all of them pale in comparison to the one who prays to keep us together. And so I conclude this series of Why Tab sermons. And in some ways, we might say I'm concluding my entire 41 years of ministry on this topic of unity within the body of Christ despite diversity. Because in my opinion, this is perhaps most important. You've heard me talk about this frequently. And I believe it's important to me and to us because it was important to Jesus, this being the focal point of his parting prayer. His final wish and desire for you and for me and for all of us are called by his name to be a part of the body called the church. But I also believe it's important to us as TAB. Because friends, we are in the unique position to live in unity despite our in the midst of our diversity. But that doesn't just happen by chance. It happens because we choose to make it happen, that we are committed to it and to one another, and so we must pray for it, just as Jesus has prayed for it. A couple of years ago, I got an email from our dear friend Bill Diener, clerk of session at the time, and now deceased. I asked Kay for her permission to use it. Following the death of their daughter, Karen, he sent me this message. I feel most fortunate to be a member of TAB, he writes. Our congregation is diverse and maybe eclectic. From a secular standpoint, this is almost an impossible group of Christians to lead and direct. At least it'd be very challenging. However, and I don't exactly know how to describe it in words, there is a common essential goodness within its individuals and families. Each part cares for the other parts. There is a true love within which pours out to the less fortunate in our community. For a longtime doubter of the power of corporate prayer, I am now reformed. We could not have had the human strength to endure on our own. It's as if the arms of God are manifested in the hugs we receive from people. We feel truly blessed. Friends, in days to come, when you're faced with changes, which inevitably will come, and discussions are made and decisions are made which may or not be to your liking, and you feel the urge to rush to your corner, I ask you to make Jesus' prayer your prayer, that all may be one, because you belong to Christ. And you belong to Christ, and you belong to Christ, and you belong to Christ, which means we belong together. And I believe we do, because of, not because of who we are, but because of who He is to us. And that, perhaps, is the most important answer I could ever give to the question of why TAB. Amen. And let us pray. O Lord, may your prayer be our prayer in this time, in this place, in your church. To your honor and glory we pray it, and this through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with TAB, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the TAB podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, TAB Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with TAB.